How are you guys? I think I say that every week. Some people will respond, some people don't. It's okay. I don't take it personal if you don't respond to me. I just cry later. I'm just kidding. Joking. All right. Hey, my name is Heath. I'm the lead pastor here at Reach, and we're in week two of a series that we started last week called Factory Reset, and here's kind of the premise behind it. It's a new year. So I won't make you raise your hand if you've committed to a New Year's resolution, and we won't ask again 6 months later if you're still doing it. That was funny. Thanks, I appreciate it. Okay, and so part of why we're doing this series right now is because there are some things in us that need to be reset, and kind of the idea behind it in thinking about this series, when you get a new computer, when you get a new phone, that is set to work exactly as it is designed, and then we mess with that. We add things to it. We download viruses. We allow our kids to download viruses through all the games that they add to the computer. And at some point, the computer doesn't function as it's designed. And so what you have the option of doing for your computer, and last week I said, like, if you Google factory reset, the number, what the top search in that list is for Android phones. So I don't know if they get reset a lot. They get reset a lot. Okay, so it must be complicated. But you can factory reset it to where you get it back to the way it is designed. This is my expert in all things phones. That's why I was inquiring of experts. Sometimes I do that from the audience. I feel a little giddy today. I don't know why. So last week we kind of talked about this big idea that if we want things to be different, then we have to reset some things. And so we as a church have been doing a couple of things that we do. Well, we do this every January, but it is January. And so we've been entering into what we call 21 days of prayer and fasting. And that can mean a lot of different things for a lot of different people. Well, one thing that we are doing different this year that we didn't do last year is that last week on your way out, we handed out for free what we call a one-year Bible. And what that means is that it is the entire Bible that is split into a reading plan that you read an Old Testament, a New Testament, a Psalm and Proverb every day. And it's dated. You can, if you weren't here last week and you're like, oh, I missed, you can go back there, you can pick up one, and you can open up to January 10th, and you can start and read with us. What's fun is there's actually, I'm going to use two verses that were in this week's reading. A little survey by show of hands. Who read something in the Bible this week that they had never seen before? Okay. Yeah, every time, like, I read it through the lens of thinking about you guys and things, and there was a couple of those that would just be interesting to have kind of a round table about in that. And so if you're intrigued, go back and read the Genesis up until this week, and you'll understand why we're talking about those things. And so what I want to do today, and by the way, we did get, last week we passed out ESV Bibles, which is what I normally read and what I preach out of. They were out of where I got them from, so there are, you get two choices. Some people are just going to look at the color and pick the color that they like. But the reason why there's two colors is one is the NIV, and those are, I think, the green, and then there's red on the other side, and those are the NLT, the New Living Translation. So if you did not get one last week, feel free to grab one today. And if you only grabbed, I talked to a couple of families that don't share very well. And so if you're in one of those families and you need a second, we have extra, grab one. Feel no guilt, take them home, and then you can write your name on it so they don't take yours and they can have theirs and all that other stuff. We don't want you to be denied having your ability to read your Bible. So grab one of those on the way out. And so this week, today, I'm going to talk about this idea of belief and what belief does to us. And a lot of what I'm going to talk about happens to us naturally every day. We are sitting in this chair believing things because we have a belief system. And in a lot of ways, our belief system gets broken. or is broken because of our life experiences and because of a lot of other things. And so I want to talk through what a belief system is. It was a little poem written by someone. It just says anonymous, so I'm not taking credit for it. But listen to this and just kind of think through this idea, because you have a belief system. The danger is where that belief system came from. So listen to this. If you accept a belief, so if something happens to you and you believe that that's the way things are, a belief, it could be whatever. It could be like, I believe when the weather's nice outside, life is going to be good for me. And if it's not, I'm not. I mean, it can be anything, but just listen to this. If you accept a belief, you reap a thought. If you sow a thought, you reap an attitude. If you sow an attitude, you reap an action. If you sow an action, you reap a habit. And if you sow a habit, you reap a character. And if you sow a character, you reap a destiny. You see the kind of follow through with that? A belief will work itself out into what you do every day. If it is what you believe you are, you will walk into that. And the dilemma is, as we're sitting here, that you may not even know why you do some of the things that you do, or why some things make you frustrated, or why you get angry at certain things, or why certain things just kind of set you off. And what I would encourage you to do on every other, I guess we're too cheap to do one, everyone, but on every other, there's this little piece of paper. Oh, you're welcome. Go ahead. Might have some typos. I already found one. Every other, there's this piece of paper, and on one side it says notes. And I'm going to give you your homework at the beginning so you can kind of think through that, just in case you need that, as we go. But here's the idea. I'm going to tell you what I want at the end, and I'm going to convince you that you want to do this. My goal for you today is that there is, I believe, by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to pray before we get into the scripture, by the Holy Spirit, God's going to illuminate one lie that you're believing. I believe it. And some of you are like, I don't believe any lie. You believe a lie. Let me just tell you. If you believe that you don't have any lies, then you're believing a lie right there. So there's your first one. And so what I want you to do today is, as we're going, and so I'm going to talk about some personal stories, I'm going to read a fair amount of scripture relating to this idea of the way we think is what we become. I'm even going to give you a quote from Bruce Lee. I don't think I've ever quoted Bruce Lee in a sermon, but today it is happening. I didn't know it was Bruce Lee, but I'd heard the phrase and I typed it in, and it gives it to Bruce Lee, so I'm going to give him credit. And so what I want you to do is, as this is going on, I believe the Holy Spirit is going to trigger, there it is, kind of your fishing moment. During this whole sermon, you're going to throw your line out, and somewhere during the sermon, I believe that God is going to illuminate, is going to bring to your attention a lie that is messing your life up. And so what our goal is we're going to take that lie, I'm going to call it an ungodly belief because that's what it is, and we're going to counteract that with the truth, which we're going to call a godly belief. So during our response at the end, and maybe you cannot do that during that point, and that's okay, you can do it later on today, I beg you to do that. Let that baby cry, it's okay. It's so cute, it's okay. And so what I want you to do, I'm sorry that I pointed out, that made it even worse. We love you. I apologize. So what I want you to do is to grab on to that lie, identify it, repent of it, and to grab a truth. And what might take you a little bit out of this moment is we cannot have a truth that is not based on a scripture. We cannot have a truth, because it may not, if we just bring it out and be like, well, this is my truth, it may not be truth. If truth, as it relates to us as followers of Jesus, is out of his Bible, then if we're going to have a truth that counteracts the lie, then we have to have a scripture that's going to give it something to stand on. So that you may have to do later, but my goal is that you're going to identify a lie, you're going to write a truth, and this week alone, every day you're going to speak that truth over yourself. And hopefully, it isn't just this week, but hopefully it stirs something past that. Okay, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go on. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you that you're the author of wisdom, you're the author of truth, and Lord, you desire more than I do to identify belief systems that are a lie in every one of us, including me. And Lord, I pray this morning that just as I said that I believe that you're going to do this, Lord, I ask, Lord, as your son, that you would do that to your other sons and daughters sitting in this room. And Lord, you would help freedom reign because you identify the lie and you give us. Lord, I pray even more so than us making a truth up, Lord, that you would speak a truth to us, that you would impress a scripture to us, and that you would move us today to making a commitment of resetting the way we think. And it all starts with one. And so, Lord, we thank you that you are good and that you love us in more ways than we can ever imagine. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Okay, I've got a little confession, more that my wife has brought it to my attention than I knew that it was an issue for me. So this week I gave up a lot of things, some including different food items, some including games on my phone, some including other technologies like Netflix that I would maybe stream a TV show on, or Facebook or Instagram. I have cheated every morning for those that are like, well, you're posting every day. Well, I'm just posting. The only thing I'm doing is what the reading plan is. So if you didn't have the Bible with you, that's the only thing I put on social media. And this week, my son got a Christmas present, not by me, from my dad. He got an Xbox One. And so he got Xbox Live with that. And his room is on the far corner of where our router is. And so I was under the impression that I needed a new router, so I purchased another router off of Amazon. It got there in 2 days. Yeah. And so I set it up, and I moved to a different brand than I had before, thinking, and I read the reviews, and I set it up, and it was working, and I got all the connections, and I'm checking everything during the day, and I'm excited. I'm like, son, you're going to be able to play live. I don't know why that excites me, but I got on this task and this project, and it consumed me. I probably spent as much time trying to fix an issue that I'm going to go into as much as I would have played with electronics. And so Jody, my loving, adoring wife, let me know that. And so I let my stupidity be lessons for everyone, so you know that you're not the only ones that kind of let things obsess you and take away your time. And so this happened. And so I get excited. I set it up. I get the house. I go around to all the devices, put the new router so when they plug it in, it's seamless. Like everybody gets home and it's like nothing ever happened. It's like magic in our closet. That is the router. And I'm excited, and Noah gets home and he gets on it and like it is lagging like crazy. And I'm like, what is going on? And I started trying to set up repeaters, and I'm looking at buying other stuff. And about the second day, I text an expert in our church, and I'm like, dude, I'm going crazy, please help me. And he said, well, it may not be any of your stuff, it may be the bandwidth that's coming into your neighborhood. And I'm like, and I still wanted to conquer it because I'm a man and will it to not be it. And so I checked a few other things. I even put my old router back in there thinking maybe I bought this new router and I didn't even need it. Might not have. Anyway, and so I put the old one in there, and I spent like an hour and a half messing with it. And then I went on a run on Thursday with Trevor, and we see a Time Warner Cable guy in his truck right by my house. Ding, 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 ding. I knock on his window, and he's probably like, oh my gosh, seriously? And I'm like, hello, sir. And he's like, yes, there is an outage in the area. And I didn't know that, but there is an outage, or was an outage in the area. And I said, well, let's get past that because, you know, that'll go away. I said, you know, is there an issue? He's like, are you talking about where your bandwidth just during the prime times goes down to below 5? And I'm like, yes. I'm getting to a point here, I swear. And I was like, yes. Expert had confirmed that. Now Time Warner Cable is also confirming that. And he said, well, your neighborhood, when they put the cable out here, they did it for the homes that were there. And well, they've, over the last several years since the cable's been there, have added a lot more homes. And so what's happening is all the bandwidth that I need is coming to our neighborhood. Check this out. And I'm in the neighborhood, but everybody else is getting a little piece of it. And by the time it gets to me, which they're suffering the same thing, it is reduced. So I normally have like 25 gigs. Like during the day, it's like almost 30. And I'm like, that's when I was testing it. I was like, it's perfect. And the only time we'd actually use it is at night when it's not perfect. And so here's what I think God showed me during my lostness into all things wireless, is that everything God has for you is available. Everything that I need, all the bandwidth I need is coming right into my neighborhood. But what's happening is, on the way to my house, some of it's going to different places. It's not my house, which is all right, because they pay for it too. And what I think it ties into this is everything you need to be exactly what God has created you to be, you have access to. And what false beliefs or ungodly beliefs do is they rob some of what God has for you from you, because you choose to believe something that's contrary to what God the Father has spoken over you, the son or daughter. It's yours. But you believe something else. And just like my bandwidth sneaks into somebody else's house, some of what God has for you is leaving you because you're allowing it to through ungodly beliefs. And so what I want to do is I'm going to first quote Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee, and it's really close to a proverb. Like, I think Proverbs 27:3 is really close to this. Actually, in the Amplified version, it's almost the same thing. It says, as you think, so shall you become. Bruce Lee. I don't know if he originated that, but like, if you Google it, it's accredited to him. But he said that. But think about that. As you think, so you will become. And some of the things that I'm going to say, I've believed. If you think you're stupid, you're going to be stupid. I, for years, believed I was stupid. I had a learning disability. I went to special classes. My reading level was way below par, but I was a decent student, and the teachers liked me, so they just kept me going. And I graduated high school probably with a fifth grade reading level. Not lying. I learned to cope. I learned to get through. I learned to hide it. But all underneath that, I believed I was stupid. Well, the truth was, isn't that I was stupid. The truth was that I just learned differently than they were teaching. I just had to change the way I believed. And it overwhelmed me. And part of it was, this is kind of a family thing. My brother was dyslexic. My dad was dyslexic. So like, I learned that I could underperform, and my dad would go, well, it's because of this. So you're trying your hardest. Well, I wasn't really trying my hardest. I learned that I could hide under this and do the minimal, and people would pat me on the back and say, you're trying. I wasn't. And not until probably after college, I think I read one book in high school, and I don't Google this because I don't know what it'll lead to. I think the name of the book was Ebony Swan. But the author was on a list. Anyway, I don't even remember what, but I read that book from cover to cover, and that was the only book that I read. Everything else I learned to gain enough through the conversation in the classroom or through Cliff Notes. And this was really before internet. Now internet, man, it's like you want to get the bio of a book or whatever. And those things really shaped who I was for years. And there's things that have happened to you that you didn't even do that have shaped the way you think and feel about yourself right now as you're sitting here. How you look, how you think about yourself have been shaped not by a belief or a word that God has given you, but by a lie that has either been spoken to you or has been maybe even something that has been done to you is made you feel this way. This is a verse we actually talked about last week, but Romans 12:2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect." See, conform to the lie of this world. Because this world, every time you turn on your TV, every time you turn on a device, every Instagram post that you look at, every Facebook post, every article that you read from going on Facebook is selling you an idea, a belief. And they want you to believe that if you just look like this, if you just ate this, if you just purchased this, life is going to be better. And see, what God is asking us to do is to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. It has to be renewed. And this is part of what this factory reset is. And here's kind of a cycle that happens in this belief system. You experience something. That experience causes you to believe a certain something. Then that leads you into expecting it, which leads to a behavior, which leads back to the experience, and so on and so forth. You experience, it makes you believe that that's how things are, it leads to an expectation, and that expectation leads to behavior, and that behavior leads back to an experience. And we want to change that. Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24. It says, "Put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life that is corrupted through deceitful desire." So it's saying, hey, what you had before, you've got to put these things off because it has been corrupted through the deceitful desires. And in verse 23, it says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." So we've got to renew our minds, but not just like there's, if you leave here today and go for self-help and words that'll change. I mean, there's books all day long that are far from God that'll convince you that if you begin to believe, this is kind of the power of belief, that if you begin to believe a certain way that you can change your life, I want to take that a step forward and say, why not go to the author of us, find that belief, and really experience the greatness of what it is. And this is what he does. He has us renew because our former self has been corrupted. We live in a corrupted world, and we have to renew our minds in the spirit. And so we have to put on a new self created in the likeness of God, in the righteousness of his holiness. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves in the same way of thinking, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." So he's saying that we have to put on the same type of thinking as our Creator for us to be different. Colossians 3, verses 9 and 10, it says, "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self and its practices." You see a pattern here? "And have put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." We're being renewed by the knowledge. This is one reason we talk about it. One reason we're giving out these free yearly Bibles, because we believe that if we read, the Word has more power than listening to my sermons over and over again. The Word is what transforms our lives. And if we get in and begin to believe that His Word is true, and just a little side note, if you guys read this morning, story of Abraham, his wife Sarah dies, and he's concerned about getting a wife for his son Isaac. I mean, kind of a beautiful story, and Isaac's like, yeah. And so he makes one of his servants kind of swear to him that you won't allow Isaac to marry a local because they're in a foreign land, but you'll go back to where we're from and you'll find for him a wife there. And they had this tradition, which I kind of joked about earlier, but like when they're in a swear, they put your hand under your thigh. So if I was sitting down somewhere, if you were going to swear to me, you would like, put your, I don't know, it's in the Bible, don't judge me. But like, I'm not going to ask you to do that. But they put your hand to swear kind of under God and before Abraham that he will make it happen. And he goes, what if she won't follow me back? Like, I'm going to a foreign land and I'm going to say, hey, I'm from Abraham and I'm, you know, I need a wife for his son and he's great and he has stuff. They may say no. And he said, well, if they say no and she won't return with you, then just your oath has been released. Just come on back. And so he goes, and before he comes up to a, kind of a watering hole, and he prays, the servant does, and he prays the God of Abraham. Will you show your favor and your love for Abraham by allowing me today to meet the girl that's going to be Isaac's wife? And here's what I'm going to do. The first girl that I go to and ask for water, and she not only gives me water, but then agrees, not being asked to, but agrees to go water my camel, she's the one. And so he prays, as he's finishing praying in his head, Rebecca walks up. And he goes, ma'am, can I have a drink of water? And she goes, sure. She fills up and gives him a sip, and he said, hey, while you're drinking, I'm going to go water your camels. He's like, oh, man, score. I mean, and then after she comes back, he like breaks into like, I envision it like a song, but he worships. He's like, you know, I can't even dance. But he like dances. I just added that. I don't know if that was in there, but he worships, and he's like, this is what God has said, and this is what God's done. So that he goes back to her house. He basically asks her family, would you release her, and tells him where they're from and gives her gifts. And Laban was kind of like, that's the brother, which I hope all your brothers, if you've got a sister, be the same way, but come on now. And so he tests a little bit, and then he makes this statement. He says, let it be as the Lord has spoken. See, Abraham believed that God would provide. His servant believed that God would provide, and they believed that God had spoke through this, and there's the story right there. There's the power of belief. He walked into what he believed was going to happen and just asked God to do what only he could do. Side note, that was free, not on the thing. Mark 11, verse 22 and 24, and it says, and Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and be thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. That is the power. Okay, some people are going to read this scripture and be like, you telling me that if I just believe it, like deep in my heart, that I'm going to win that lottery? Anybody else talking about that lottery? Anyway, $1.2 billion just kind of messes with people. So if I believe that, he's going to give me some numbers and I'm going to win. Well, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that there's a power, and this is what Jesus is saying, there's a power when you believe what God has said will come to be. There's a power in it. Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2, and this was in your reading this week. Judge not that you not be judged, for the judgment you pronounce will be judged You with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. See, sowing and reaping. If you sow a thought, if you believe a lie, you sow that, and you're going to reap the other. And what he's saying here is what you sow, you will reap. And it's the same way. If we sow in the flesh, we're going to get flesh. Go to Romans 8. If we sow in the Spirit, we're going to get the Spirit. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 9. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows in his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows in the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." There's a power in believing that what we're sowing into ourselves, what we're believing, is going to reap a harvest. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. It says, "For these weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments of every lofty opinion raised because the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." So what's going to happen this week as you identify maybe a lie that you believe and as you write a truth, you're going to have to walk out 2 Corinthians 10. You're going to take captive, because what's going to happen? You're going to wake up, you're going to have it tomorrow morning, you're going to believe it, because like what happens right after something happens, you believe it. It's like Abraham and Sarah, when God said, "Hey, you're going to be the father of many nations," he's like, "We're going to finally have kids." 25 years later, after, you know, we won't even talk about Hagar. Like, you can read that. That's anyway, like when your wife tells you to take another wife, say no. That's our marriage tip of the day. Learn it from Abraham, because it did not go well. Not go well. Anyway, that day made me smile. Because she turned right on him. Anyway. She went as far to go, "Let the Lord judge between you and me." Like, you told me. Anyway. I know. I was like, anyway. And, you know, it literally was 20. So God spoke. And so what's going to happen this week, tomorrow, or this afternoon, you're going to believe it. You're going to believe that if you let the truth into you, it's going to transform your life. Tomorrow morning, you're going to read it. You're going to be a little bit excited. This might actually work. This might change some things in my life. And this little voice in your head is going to go, "This is stupid. Nothing's changed. Why do you think this is going to change?" That's why in 2 Corinthians 10, God said to take every thought captive to obey Christ. So when that thought comes into your head that is another lie wanting you to believe it, take it to Christ and go, "Christ, is this the truth? No. Oh, that's right. I have a scripture that has spoken the truth over me." And so here is another, this one on there. This was in today's reading. I just added it last minute. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, and he will make your path straight." Here's the danger. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. The danger is our understanding is what's got us where we're at. Oh, this is the best decision because I read this article in People the other day, and it said that I should think and feel this way. No. Don't lean on your understanding. Lead on God, and he will make your path straight. So here's kind of the three-part piece of what this looks like, and there's a whole lot more to this. I'd really try to put this into a perspective of a sermon, and not, I mean, this could have been a whole series, but here's my three things. Discover the lie. Repent of your part or other people's part into that for believing it and replace it with something else. So discover, repent, replace. If I was smart, I would have found a word that meant discover that was an R, but I didn't. I'm kidding. That kind of bothers me when all the letters match. Huh? Reveal. See, if you were there, this could have been like RRR. So if it's DRR. Anyway, discover, repent, replace. And so I'm going to practice with you. And this is what I did one for me while I was doing this. I discovered a lie. I have written down a truth, and I have two scriptures that are going to validate that truth. And so this is what I'm asking you to do. Not, you don't have to do it right now, but just a pattern. And if God's brought to your attention a lie that you're believing, then identify it. If not, when we go into our last song, you can stay seated if you want and just say, God, He wants you to be free more than you want to be free. He would not have sent His Son to die on the cross if He did not desire to you for you to be free. And so here's a lie that I have also, along with feeling stupid, have believed I am a failure. And like you wanna deal with this, like just play at church. anyway, we'll have my counseling later. So here's the truth. So the lie is I'm a failure, and so believing that looks at the lens of everything like it's a failure. Like, it could spiral, oh, I'm a failure as a church planner, I'm a failure as a father, I'm a failure as a husband, I'm a failure as a friend. Like, you find stuff that make your case. I'm a failure, well, oh, I failed this person, I said something stupid the other day. Failed. Anyway, so here's truth. God has made me and provided a way for me to be exactly what He designed. Has made. With His help, I am able to do everything that He asks. See, it's not saying, hey, I'm a success because everything I do succeeds. The Bible is filled with people that look like failures that were extremely successful in the eyes of the Lord. I mean, look at the ministry of Jesus. Went from thousands to 120, and then He died. And then from that, we are thousands of years later sitting here still talking about this man and what He's done. So let me read this again. So my lie was, I'm a failure. The truth is, God has made me and provided a way for me to be exactly what He designed. With His help, I am able to do everything that He asks. And here are two scriptures that stand with that. The first one is 2 Peter 1, verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us to His own glory and excellence. So what this says is He's given us all things that we need for life and godliness. So to say I'm a failure is to say I don't have what I need. And God here in 2 Peter is saying, hey, I've given you everything that you need to be exactly what I've called you to be. In 2 Corinthians 9, and you're not limited to just having two verses. If there's 20 verses that bring a stronger foundation, that's fine. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you might abound in every good work. Truth. And so, the simple of what I want you to do this week, and you don't have to do it. You can wait until we talk about it again and then maybe do it then. Or you can go, there are things that are robbing you of joy, of peace. There are things that are taking away from the love that could be in your house between you and your spouse that are lies. And God wants to combat those lies and bring truth to change you. And because your change always affects more than just you. So here's some questions for you. Start with one. You may be sitting here and be like, brother, I just got like 25 lies. Start with one. Maybe the one that feels the biggest to you. Identify it, discover it. And then what is the lie that you have believed? You have to identify the lie. You can't just go, I'm going to believe these truths without counteracting it with the lie, because it's how we get rid of the lie. And then what is God's truth to this lie? And that's all that I want you to do this week. I'm going to ask Caleb to come back up. We're going to go back into worship. And if you can do good Father, I think that that hits the spot, at least for me. The second part of that idea is that God is good. And he has chosen, in what seems to be a very strange way, to communicate his love for us. So we can believe that he has chosen to love us. And we can live in that vein. And we can have everything. We could be the house that has 100 download speed. Some of you are like, whatever, I don't want to. I'm done with that illustration. 50 would be good. God wants to give you an access to him. And part of you experiencing what he has for you is eliminating lies that you are believing that is robbing from the truth. And so as we close, I'm getting ready to pray. And there's a couple things that could be going on. You could be sitting here in disbelief going, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And that's fine. There is no power without belief. There is no power without faith, and that's fine. And then I believe at some point you'll discover that. Or you could be sitting in this room and your your heart has been overwhelmed by a lie that God has brought to your attention. And there's part of you that disbelieves that that lie will ever go away. Well, I'm going to believe for you that this week God's going to do something that you never thought would be possible. He's going to begin to transform some of who you are by combating a lie with his truth. There is power. At the end of this week, simple exercise, you'll believe a couple of things. You'll believe that his word is real when you exchange a lie and you begin to believe the truth. You'll see that his word has the power to transform us. And so maybe you're in this room and you've never experienced any love or grace or mercy or anything from God the Father. Here's what you need to know. We messed up. From the day of Adam, our people, our generation, our genome, mankind has walked away from God. And God from the beginning knew that this was going to happen. From Genesis 3, he had a plan, and that plan was his son to come and live the life that we couldn't and be the sacrifice. Just as John the Baptist says that here is the Lamb of the world. He came to be our last and final sacrifice. And he willingly went to the cross. He willingly allowed himself to be killed to pay the penalty for your sin. And so the grace of God is that maybe you're so seeped in lies that you can't even see out of them because you've never allowed the presence of God to interact with you. And I believe that the only thing that changes us is the Holy Spirit. And so maybe today is just a day that you just submit and release and discover that you need Jesus and repent of your walking away from him and allow him to make you new. And you can do that today while this song is going on in your own words. The only thing that you need to know is that God has done through his son Jesus alone what you could not do. And all you got to do is believe in that action. And that action of him dying on the cross has set us free. And so I'm going to pray and we're going to go into our song. Whether it's identifying your lie while you're sitting here and working on a truth, or whether it's just allowing God to pour his goodness over you, let it be. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you are so good to us. Lord, you give us this life so we can experience you. You give us this life so we can see you. And Lord, I pray during this last few minutes of our service that you would do exactly that. You would open our eyes so we could see you. You would open our ears so that we could hear you. You would open our hearts that we would receive you. And Lord, we thank you that you've sent your Holy Spirit to give us everything that we need. And Lord, I just speak over the lies that are going to be kicked out this week. Lord, we just declare that you are more powerful than he that is in the world. The Spirit that you've put in us is greater than he that is in the world. And Lord, I just pray that this week, Lord, that your ability to speak truth and transform lives would be seen and felt in this room. And Lord, so we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, I pray that you would continue to speak as we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.